Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Tonight, the vital new information for the millions of Americans who've received Pfizer's COVID vaccine. Pfizer's CEO saying a third dose will likely be needed within 12 months of becoming fully vaccinated. Will you have to get one every year, like the flu shot? Johnson & Johnson's vaccine remaining on pause. Millions still within the 13-day window when six women develop blood clots. And the first CDC data on breakthrough infections among fully vaccinated people. What's your potential risk? The disturbing new body cam, an officer fatally shooting a 13-year-old in Chicago. Police saying a gun was found at the scene, but the video appearing to show the boy's hands up as he shot. Chicago's mayor pleading for calm. The defense resting in the Derek Chauvin trial. The former officer speaking in court for the first time to invoke his Fifth Amendment right not to testify. When the jury will hear closing arguments. Dante Wright's family speaking out for the first time since the former officer was charged in his shooting death. What they're demanding tonight. The U.S. hitting Russia with new sanctions and the warning President Biden says he personally gave to Vladimir Putin. And bracing for a blast of spring snow.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. We may be closer to a definitive answer to one of the nagging questions about COVID vaccines, and that is, will we need a follow-on booster shot later on? Well, the head of Pfizer is saying that will likely be the case for his company's vaccine, suggesting an annual shot could be in the cards beginning a year after being fully vaccinated. The idea to keep your body's defenses up against the virus, especially the variants. We'll also dig into the number of people infected despite being fully vaccinated. Some interesting numbers to share with you there, especially considering 126 million have received at least one COVID vaccine dose in this country. We're also watching hospitalizations tonight at 38,000. Let's begin our coverage now with Miguel Almaguer.
Are we good to go? On a count of three. One, two, three.
For the tens of millions of Americans inoculated with the Pfizer vaccine, tonight new word, they'll likely need a third shot, a booster dose, within 12 months of being fully vaccinated. Pfizer's CEO says, like the flu shot, the vaccine could be annual.
The variants will play a key role. It is extremely important to suppress the pool of people that can be susceptible to the virus.
The Pfizer news comes as the future of the Johnson & Johnson shot remains unclear, but just the decision to pause is having an impact.
I saw patients today who were scheduled for Johnson & Johnson, and when I told them we needed to reschedule, they're like, no, thank you.
With 7.6 million Americans already inoculated with J&J, the six women with rare blood clotting experienced it within 2 weeks. Roughly 3.8 million people are still in that window.
Some hospitals, like this one, say in recent days, those just inoculated with J&J have been showing up to their ERs with no symptoms and no medical problems, but are instead overly concerned.
Today on Capitol Hill, leading health officials sought to reassure the public. At a time when COVID cases are climbing, authorities are trying to ensure public confidence isn't dropping. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
All right, let's put it into context. Dr. John Torres joins us now. John, if Pfizer is talking yearly booster shots, what does it say about how long the vaccines provide protection right now?
We know the vaccines are very effective in providing at least 6 months of protection from the virus, but until they study immunity of recipients 6 months out, we're not going to know conclusively. Now, Pfizer thinks we'll need a booster shot in 12 months time frame and maybe annually after that. Moderna says they're working on a booster shot and hoping to combine it with the flu vaccine so you can get both at once. What we don't know at this point is whether you can switch between different types of vaccines for that booster shot, but hopefully we'll soon.
All right, doctor, thank you. Well, let's turn now to the breaking news from Chicago. Police video just released of a deadly officer-involved shooting. This one involved a 13-year-old boy. It happened late last month. We need to warn you, the images are disturbing. Rahima Ellis is there.
In the dramatic police body cam video, officers are responding to a call of shots fired in the early morning hours of March 29th in Chicago's Little Village neighborhood. In a matter of seconds, a pursuit turns deadly.
Stop right now! Hands! Show me your hands! Stop it! Stop it!
13-year-old Adam Toledo was killed. Police say a gun was found at the scene.
The officer screamed at him, "Show me your hands." Adam complied, turned around. His hands were empty when he was shot in the chest.
So far, police have not released any information about the officer. They arrested a 21-year-old man who they say was with Toledo at the time.
Sin. Put your hand behind your back.
Right. Reuben Roman, arraigned Saturday, was charged with child endangerment and reckless discharge of a firearm. Chicago's mayor became emotional today talking about the video.
No parent should ever have a video broadcast widely of their child's last moments.
Earlier this week, Toledo's family saw the video and did not want it seen immediately. But today they agreed it should be viewed by the public, and they called for calm. Now that the video has been released, the city is on edge tonight and bracing for more demonstrations. Lester.
All right, Rahama, thank you. In Minneapolis, high drama in the murder trial of Derek Chauvin, the defense resting its case and the former police officer making his decision on whether to testify about the death of George Floyd. Our Gabe Gutierrez has late details.
It had been one of the largest questions looming over the trial, whether Derek Chauvin would take the stand in his own defense. Today, the answer.
I will invoke my Fifth Amendment privilege today.
Chauvin told the judge, without the jury in the room, that he would not testify.
I have advised you, and we have gone back and forth on the matter, would be kind of an understatement, right?
Yes, it is.
George Floyd's younger brother, Rodney, says it had been on his mind.
I was hoping to see him get on that stand, but he didn't do it.
You wanted to see him testify.
Yeah, I wanted to see him do something to accept some accountability.
But legal experts say Chauvin's choice is no surprise.
The biggest risk for putting Derek Chauvin on the stand is that he does the exact opposite of what you want him to do. Instead of humanizing himself, he comes across as looking cold to the jury, which further proves what the state is already trying to establish, that he's a direct cause of George Floyd's death.
Also today, prosecutors tried to introduce as new evidence test results that specifically measure the carbon monoxide in Floyd's blood. The judge did not allow it.
It's untimely.
Scolding them for waiting until the last minute and warning that bringing up the previously undisclosed lab test to the jury could result in a mistrial.
This late disclosure is not the way we should be operating here.
Instead, the prosecution called a sole rebuttal witness, Dr. Michael Tobin, back to the stand. The world-renowned pulmonologist disagreed with yesterday's defense expert, who testified exhaust from the police squad car could have been one of the contributing factors in Floyd's death.
I believe it is not reliable.
Closing arguments are now set for Monday. Then the case will go to the jury, which will be sequestered.
If I were you, I would plan for long and hope for short. Whether it's an hour or a week, it's entirely within your province.
Gabe, I'm curious, why is the court waiting until Monday for closing arguments?
Well, Lester, the judge had indicated that he did not want the jury deliberating this weekend. Also, the prosecution and defense are still hammering out the exact wording for jury instructions, Lester.
All right, Gabe Gutierrez tonight, thank you. In just 60 seconds, packing the Supreme Court, the controversial proposal in Congress to expand it to 13 justices. And in our series, American Extremism, a program to help people get out of hate groups.
This podcast is brought to you by Americans United for Separation of Church and State. For more than 75 years, Americans United has defended your freedom to live as yourself and believe as you choose, so long as you don't harm others. Core freedoms like abortion rights, marriage equality, public education, and even democracy itself rest upon the wall of separation between church and state. White Christian nationalists are attacking these freedoms, seeking to force us all to live by their narrow beliefs. Americans United is fighting back. Freedom without favor and equality without exception. Learn more about AU's work at au.org/NBC.
The UN Refugee Agency, or UNHCR, responds to emergencies and provides long-term solutions for refugees. They provide aid in over 130 countries, including Ukraine, Syria, Afghanistan, and Sudan, where people are forced to flee from war and persecution at their greatest moment of need. UNHCR helps and protects refugees by providing food, shelter, medical care, and other life-saving essentials. The agency jumpstarts relief in three key ways. They transport core relief items stored in even the most remote areas of the world. They deploy expert emergency staff trained to help in crisis situations. And they transfer funds directly to support the emergency. Because of generous supporters and donors, UNHCR can scale up its response within 72 hours of a large-scale emergency. Your support helps provide life-saving aid for refugees whenever and wherever emergencies occur. Donate to USA for UNHCR by visiting unrefugees.org/donation.
Tension remains high in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota this evening. The former police officer who shot and killed Dante Wright during a traffic stop making her first court appearance after being charged with manslaughter as his family speaks out tonight. Ron Allen is there.
We're still never going to be able to see our baby boy that we're never going to have again.
Tonight, Dante Wright's family demanding tough justice for Kimberly Potter.
If we can have life, we want life. We gotta go life without him. We gotta go life without him.
The former police officer in court today, the media barred from showing it to the public, charged with second-degree manslaughter, facing up to 10 years in prison for killing Wright during a traffic stop. His family able to see Potter in court on Zoom.
It hurt my heart to see her sitting there. So many emotions flowed through my body. I had hate, I had sadness, I had anger.
Overnight, a fourth night of outrage. Hundreds of officers moving in to enforce the curfew. Yeah. Our NBC News team briefly detained by authorities, then released. At least two dozen arrests. Today, Minnesota's governor, who said he spoke to Wright's family, vowing to push for police reforms.
You're less safe to be black in Minnesota than you are to be white right now.
Meanwhile, Wright's family planning his funeral for next Thursday.
Nobody should have to go through this. I don't care, white, black, brown, red, orange, whatever you are.
Ron Allen, NBC News, Brooklyn Center, Minnesota.
All right, let's switch gears to the Biden administration's tough new sanctions on Russia for interfering in American presidential elections and those hacking attacks on U.S. government agencies and big companies. Let's get more from Andrea Mitchell.
As tensions rise with Russian troops massing on the border with Ukraine, the Biden administration today slapping tough new financial sanctions on Moscow for a massive hacking operation against government agencies and the nation's largest companies, interfering in U.S. elections, and bullying Ukraine. The State Department also expelling Russian diplomats the U.S. says are spies. President Biden warned Russian President Putin of the sanctions in a call, but also proposed the two meet at a summit.
I was clear with President Putin that we could have gone further. But I chose not to do so. I chose to be proportionate.
Russia responding tonight, saying U.S. aggressive behavior will certainly lead to a decisive rebuff. Meanwhile, only hours after the president's historic decision to withdraw U.S. troops from Afghanistan, Secretary of State Blinken made a surprise trip there today.
I know this is a moment for many of mixed emotions. These are hard choices, hard decisions.
But the CIA warns there's a significant risk al-Qaeda could regroup.
The military wanted to leave a small force. Afghans worry the Taliban will take over and women and girls lose their rights. And the Taliban tonight is declaring victory. Lester.
Andrea, thanks. A lot of talk right now in Washington over the idea of court packing. Some progressive Democrats today calling to expand the number of justices on the Supreme Court, and it is sparking a backlash tonight. Peter Alexander tells us more.
It would be a monumental change for an institution that has not added justices in more than 150 years. But tonight, several progressive Democrats say they want to increase the number of seats on the Supreme Court from 9 to 13.
We are here today because the United States Supreme Court is broken. It is out of balance.
And it needs to be fixed.
That Democratic plan would make the court liberal after former President Trump's picks created a 6-3 conservative majority. President Biden, as a senator, criticized court packing as a bonehead idea, but just last week launched a commission to study adding more seats. Speaker Nancy Pelosi won't bring the Democratic proposal to the floor, but did not rule it out in the future.
I think it's an idea that should be considered.
The late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg opposed it.
If anything would make the court appear partisan, it would be that.
And Republicans are slamming it as a dangerous liberal power grab.
I can tell you what court packing is, though. It will be the end of the Supreme Court's legitimacy and the end of the rule of law in America.
The pressure on President Biden from progressive Democrats is likely only to grow, with his court commission expected to release its report this fall. Lester.
All right, Peter, thank you. In our series on American extremism, now you've heard us reporting on the growing threat. But tonight, Hallie Jackson looks at a rescue program for people caught up in hate.
Do you know if he's ever condoned violence?
At Parents for Peace, the phones keep ringing.
When COVID happened, our helpline tripled.
Executive Director Miriam Churchill says it's not just because of the pandemic.
Did the events of January 6th have any impact on your helpline that you could see?
Yes, the helpline number was just hot, hot, hot.
On the line, people who want to get their loved ones out of all kinds of hate groups, ideologies from white supremacy to Islamic radicalism.
People that are using hate, they are self-medicating themselves with hate. I think it's an addiction.
It's why they do interventions these days on Zoom. And we were granted rare access to listen in as their caller joined on speakerphone.
We agree. Your husband needs help.
I appreciate the support.
We're obscuring her identifying details, but Ken says she wants help for her husband, who drinks, goes online, and sinks deeper into hate.
He would say that, you know, if half the population were wiped out, things would be better.
Was there a point when you saw that your husband was getting increasingly radicalized?
Yeah, I would say it was after the Capitol riots.
She searched and found the Parents for Peace website, which features a photo of a former white supremacist.
I thought, wow, like, if only I could just get him in the same room with my husband, this is what might be able to reach him better.
That person is Chris Buckley. He says he joined the KKK in 2013 after he left the Army following a bad Humvee crash and got addicted to painkillers, then crystal meth.
You were actually training other members of the Klan to fight.
Yep.
A 2015 documentary shows Buckley with his then preschool age son.
White power!
We're fire!
I was grooming him. He threw a fit until we made him a robe that matched mine.
In 2016, his wife reached out for help. And within weeks, another former white supremacist showed up at Buckley's door for an intervention.
It was the most agonizing, exhausting, emotional roller coaster that I've ever been on.
Buckley is now helping others out of hate.
For every one that I recruited while I was in, I can take 10 more back.
New research from RAND shows stigmatizing extremists or punishing them can be counterproductive. So Parents for Peace looks for other ways to help people who love people who hate.
We are guiding families to be first responders.
Like that helpline caller who's separating from her husband.
This is a shock to his system, but it's starting to have the effect that I hoped for him, is that he's reaching out for help now. That's why I'm trying to do what I'm doing with love, because what else can combat hate better than love?
For her, now it's hope over hate. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Washington.
We'll take a short break. Up next, who's getting COVID after vaccinations? What you need to know. A blast of spring snow is taking aim tonight. Winter storm alerts are in effect for parts of New York and New England. High elevations could get up to 10 inches. More now in the race to vaccinate. The CDC releasing its first data on COVID breakthrough infections in a small number of fully vaccinated people. So what is your potential risk? Tom Costello with a reality check.
While more than 76 million Americans have now been fully vaccinated, the CDC reports a very small number of breakthrough cases, people contracting COVID despite being vaccinated. So far, 5,800 known cases, most of them women. 40% involve people over the age of 60. 7% had to be hospitalized. 1%, 74 people, died. Experts say the infections are similar to people coming down with the flu despite getting the flu vaccine. Ariel Silver got COVID 6 weeks after her second COVID vaccine dose.
For 2 days, I was in bed very sick, just sleeping all day. I had to cancel all my work phone calls. It hit me hard, for sure.
At a certain point, my fatigue went from, oh my God, I'm tired, to, oh my God, I can't really move.
Dr. Evelina Gravener also got sick after being vaccinated.
I'm actually afraid to think what my symptoms could have been like if I wasn't vaccinated.
The data tells the story, showing the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are at least 94% effective in preventing severe disease. The J&J vaccine, 86% effective in preventing severe disease. That means only a small percentage of vaccinated people are likely to still get COVID, though most should not end up in the hospital.
The vast, vast majority of people who have been vaccinated and get COVID, they're going to have mild illness, maybe moderate illness, and should be able to recover at home.
The COVID vaccines actually provide far more protection than the typical flu vaccine, which has been 50 to 60% effective in recent years. And the current vaccines do appear to protect against the UK variant, now the most common strain in the U.S.
The biggest concern is that people who do become sick despite being vaccinated could still spread the virus to others. Infectious disease experts point out no vaccine offers 100% protection. Lester?
Yeah, we keep learning so much about all this. Tom, thank you. And before we go, a note about Inspiring America. It's expanding into a new franchise across the NBC Universal News Group to honor people making an impact, kicking off with a special primetime event. I'll host with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb on May 1st. We'll reveal the 2021 inspiration list featuring the stories of some of the people making a real difference in our country. That's Nightly News for this Thursday. I'm Lester Holt. Please take care of yourself and each other. Good night, everyone.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.